Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. We're going to talk about medical diplomacy today. By the time this show is over, your experience with your medical doctor, your surgeon, is going to be far more efficacious, smoother, elegant, filled with a lot more love and respect. But you have to learn the language, which you don't know, and that's why there's tension. I've analyzed this as a doctor over two decades. Patients coming in saying, my doctor this, my doctor that, my medical doctor this. Most of it's unnecessary. So you're going off your cholesterol drug, or you cut down on your blood pressure med because the herbs that you just paid for claim to lower your blood pressure, or the vitamin K in your green smoothie and the Coumadin, the blood thinner you're on, are contraindicated. And you're on your way to see your medical doctor, and you know he's going to scold you, and you're scared, deride you. He's going to tell you you're a fool in so many nice words, and that you're wasting your money, and that he's the doctor, and he's going to tell you what you are going to do, and not the other way around. Furthermore, he knows more about you in that 10-minute office visit, if you're lucky, than you know about yourself, which is another reason why you better yield or he won't treat you anymore. And then what are you going to do? People are so susceptible to these kinds of scenarios because from day one, we're taught that the men in white are infallible, that they can't possibly be wrong. After all, we all wanted to get into medical school, but we didn't because we weren't smart enough, and so we shouldn't argue with someone that's smarter than us, even if they're telling us to do something that is quite positively insane. You may laugh, but that's what's going on in your head as you cave into the pressure, or it's family pressure. You come from a family of large sheep, and as we all know, sheep follow sheep, even if it's off the side of a mountain. Your sister, she had cancer. She cut off the entire breast. And just to make sure, she cut off the other breast. And just to make sure, she took out the ovaries since the breast cancer was estrogen receptive. Now, you have this little lump, and why don't you just do the same thing as your sister did? Since your sister loves you, and so does her oncologist, who is now your oncologist, so why don't you just do the same thing? You don't want to be the black sheep, even though you don't want to castrate yourself from fear of breast cancer. So you, in the most vulnerable moment of your life, confide in your oncologist. You get teary-eyed only to realize that you're inside the mouth of the lion and that the standard of care must prevail at all costs, for your own good, of course, because everyone from your sister to your oncologist to the hospital to the surgeon really loves you. I'm not exaggerating. I am not. I hear it all week. Last week, off the line, a lovely Hispanic woman off the show last week, 87-year-old husband with prostate cancer, and that hospital wants to cut out his prostate gland. She's on the phone with me saying, thank you, they are not going to touch his prostate gland over her dead body. They are not going to cut his prostate gland. And I applaud her, and I agree with her. And I would be glad, mind you, to disagree with her if I thought he needed the surgery. So how about a little common sense? You're strong enough to get to be 87 years old, and you get a cancer that much current medical research doesn't even want to call a bona fide cancer anymore, that takes a long time to metastasize, that's in a man already strong enough to make it to 87, and then in all likelihood it's going to take 5 to 10 years for it to metastasize if it spreads at all. I have dozens of cases like this, and I'm constantly listening to my patients fret over these office visits. And the point is, you don't have to fret or worry or argue or have anxiety most of the time. What you have to do is learn a little medical history. You have to study your illness, and you can. And then you have to learn medical diplomacy. So Medici did tidbits on medical diplomacy for today's show. First of all, you have to understand what we mean by the standard of care. The standard of care in medicine is what the doctor is told to do by his superiors, his medical board, which can vary from state to state. Abortion, for instance. The American Medical Association also. Indirectly, even the FDA. It means that once he or she takes the Hippocratic Oath, which is the oath you take to be a good doctor, to help a fellow patient means following that standard of care. This is drilled into your head ad infinitum. What your board says is what you do. Then you have to understand what has happened to doctors and the standard of care for a whole lot of reasons that you as the patient don't know about and therefore don't respect or take into account unless you've got the inside track. So, you know, we've got to go back, believe it or not, to Bill and Hillary, who ran the White House. So we're talking the early mid-90s when bad things started to happen to really good doctors. I was there. I was at the meetings. I had a ton of friends who were MDs. I felt for them. I trusted them. I referred to them. I watched them go nuts in the early 90s. The entire financial framework through which they earned their salaries changed drastically. And I attended lots of meetings back then with friends who were medical doctors, good, hardworking, honest medical doctors, and there were lots of them. I attended these meetings where physicians were trying desperately to resist this new evolving financial framework because it was destroying their salaries, amongst many things. Internists, good internists, working hard, 10-year veterans, 15-year veterans, earning $500,000 a year, living a comfortable life, feeling respected and loved, have their salaries cut to $150,000, $200,000 gross if they were lucky. And then medical deductions under the new structure were very hard to come by as private sector medicine corporatized. This is when the HMOs that were already around, like Kaiser, expanded, where the physician became accountable for the first time in that profession for the amount of money they spent, really accountable, even to the point where they were rewarded when they spent less on testing than the other guy. And this collectively devastated a whole lot of good old-fashioned medical doctors who were willing to think outside the box. My medical doctor just doesn't think straight. He doesn't listen. He doesn't have any brains. He doesn't do this. I don't know where he is. He's not home. They used to be home. We had a different and better system back then. And these guys were in a much better position, and they had much more autonomy, more income, and they could think outside the box. He felt better because he wasn't owned by the corporate bean counters, the frugal, the fiscally conscious, as they like to be called, who were suddenly calling the shots. And I'll tell you straight, a lot of the brains went out of medicine. And if you studied the college campuses, it wasn't long before families figured out that if their kids were bright, they just might be better off studying economics rather than medicine. And there were these dramatic shifts out of medicine, let alone PhD-oriented grad school. No one wants to do that. And a flooding of students into computer science, engineering, and most of all, economics. Remember, this is the roaring 1990s, right up into the mid-2000s when you just charge it. We had all this financial expansion off so many things that it paid then for the intelligent choice to go out of medicine, which was being devastated, and into that free money of what we thought. Well, we thought it was free money, the 90s, and into 2005 until we crashed. So collectively, medicine doesn't draw the best and the brightest today. And that's the truth. Not like they used to. And I know I got a lot of friends of mine that'll stand right next to me now and agree. It's a different breed in medical school. And that would make sense because medicine is not as sweet a deal as it used to be. The older doctors in their 60s, the guys that I go to, trapped to a certain point. and they've become cynical because they've been disrespected, and they have. And the corporatization of medicine, which has resulted, now here's the point, in a very strict, tight standard of care, leaves many medical doctors anxiety-ridden because, and they tell me this all the time, I got to spend more time following rules and stupid regulations instead of thinking about my patients and outside the box. You got to keep these things in mind. And then you burst in on them in your with your unproven herbal solution for your favorite health concern. And you're not thinking about this. If your medical doctor gets tied to, in any way, your decision to go off, say, your blood pressure meds, and you go home and have a stroke, he or the company he represents will be sued for advising a therapy outside their standard of care. It's the standard of care you're going to hear me repeat through the whole show. It is taking the creative, outside-the-box physician and killing him. So in these cases, what do you think common sense dictates for him when you, the civilian, ask him if he thinks you should go off your meds? Or if you tell him you're going off your meds, and then we get his bruised ego involved, which is already bruised. See, this is how you get the worst side of him, if you get aggressive in ways you don't even know is aggressive. But then, of course, there's the problem. You're also going to get the worst side of him if you stay meek and don't negotiate the standard of care. Okay, one golden rule in negotiation for you herbal people. Do not tell your medical doctor you are seeing a nutritionist who is giving you some sort of supplement related to your health concern, and you just want his approval. You just want him to know. Like he's not going to, inside himself, just laugh. He thinks you're crazy. He's sure you're wasting your money. Even if he's smiling and being nice, okay, if he is, a lot of times they're not. He's sure you're making a mistake because everything he represents is, I only suggest and advise and counsel what's in my standard of care. Now, I know why you told him. You told him because he knows, in your mind, in your delusional mind, he knows whether or not that supplement or herb is contraindicated to the drug he wants to put you on or that you're presently on. So let me tell you something. Your medical doctor does not know any more about your herb or your supplement than you do. You're asking someone who cannot tell you the answer. You're also asking someone who really doesn't know how the pharmaceutical drugs he puts you on really work. He only knows they do work. And you want to know, he's got a lot on his hands, and that's all he's got time to know, how to functionally apply the medicine, not be a biochemist. You see, but all in all, that doesn't stop the amount of fatal interactions between pharmaceutical drugs to rival just about any significant cause of death each year. And definitely an infinitely greater number than the number of problems caused by interactions between herbs and drugs, which is so rare. Which is so exaggerated, and if you get into the research and the data, you'll see that. If taking a natural cure was that dangerous, wouldn't a good doctor ask you? Don't you think it would even be in the standard of care at this point? But they don't. There's a reason for that. 99.999% of the time, it's never a problem. Herbs are forgiving. Now, a smart doctor, a diplomat, will tell you, Mrs. Smith, I do not really know whether this herb will help you or hurt you. It's not my expertise. So I'm going to stay on the side of caution in your best interest and say, no, do not take the herb. And they should say it like they mean it, and that they would tell you if they did know. But that's not your experience when you broach this issue with medical doctors, between your mixed aggression and anxiety, their bruised egos, it's a flop. Now, if you're taking herbs and you know they help you, you simply point out to your doctor that since your blood pressure is lower, your blood sugar is less, you have less heart palpitations, you have less headaches, less joint pain, less tremors, fewer seizures, lower cholesterol and a better diet, that your blood is thinner because of dietary changes, and that you really want him to lower the dose of the drug incrementally, not cold turkey.